Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. It's already Thursday. Look at that. Welcome to Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, of course, with Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. I know we're still working out that ad and other stuff. I think sooner or later we're going to get there. It just takes some time. It's only been 4 or 5 years, I think Dan and I have been doing the podcast. So give us some time. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan, I heard breaking news for tonight's big game, whatever, in the Eastern Conference Finals. At shoot-around this morning, LeBron James was sniffling, and then when he did his interview after shoot-around, they could tell he was congested. I wish I was kidding you about that, Dan, but I'm not. I really do. I wish it was just all one big joke, but that was actually reported as breaking news today by, of course, the Mickey Mouse Network, and they made a big deal out of it. Apparently, he's going to tough it out and play with a cold. All right, so we'll see how he does. You know, that was the reason for the Game 3 loss was LeBron James was sick. That's the only reason they lost the game to the Celtics was he was ill. So we'll have to see if he can battle back and tough it out like millions and millions of Americans and probably people around the world do every day when they have to go to work and support their families. Even when they're not feeling good, they go out there and do their job. So let's put LeBron James in the category of everybody else.
Well, I mean, if they even take him out of that category, Jordan did it. They didn't talk about it.
No, yet. A lot of great players do it, and you don't hear about it till afterwards. Being from Chicago, we remember the game Michael Jordan went out with the incredibly high fever. I believe he was at like 102 or 103. Shouldn't even have been playing. And, still played. I mean, there's times where, they almost literally carried him off the court in, during timeouts. I remember even farther back in the late 70s, Walter Payton had a streak of never missing a game. And he had got the flu on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And his teammate in the backfield was a running back by the name of Roland Harper. And Harper continued to run him soup and anything he needed for 3 or 4 days to get him better for the game. And, Payton ended up playing on Sunday, and I believe he put up a 100-yard performance, but my guess is the Bears probably still lost because they stunk back then, kind of like they do now. We've seen this, throughout with all kinds of great players, you suck it up, you do your job, we don't make a media circus out of it. LeBron sniffles a couple times, and he's the greatest guy in the world for toughing it out.
Well, I mean, do you think it's part of it is because two points here, that the media is so far up his ass, and number two, that the guys covering the sport in general are all fighting, scratching, clawing to get anything out. It doesn't matter what it is, but they got to get the story. We always talk about headlines.
To address the second question first, the answer is yes, because there's absolutely nothing else to talk about in this series. We know Boston's not going to win it. It's just a matter of Cleveland putting them away. You can talk about what a great game Kyrie had in game four, but that's only going to get you so far. Everybody wants to talk about LeBron anyways. There's really no LeBron news. So this is it. And then back to the first question, what they're doing is, what anybody at your job would call CYA. They're covering in case the Cavaliers lose tonight. This way they've got their built-in reason. Well, we reported earlier that he was sick. Whatever. You could report that later. Nobody would care. So, the only people who buy the fact that Cleveland lost game three because LeBron was sick are actual Cavalier, hardcore fans. Nobody who knows anything else about the game of basketball believes that's the reason why they lost. So, if you do buy that, I got a bridge I want to sell you, or possibly some swampland in Florida, whatever your preference is. We can negotiate again, 646-478-3753. We can talk about it right here. I don't accept third party out of state checks though. So, and I would prefer if you made it payable to cash. Just kind of how that goes, but God, yeah, please. Let's get the NBA season over with already. How about something that's a little more exciting, Dan? Game seven in the NHL tonight, Eastern Conference Finals. The Ottawa Senators at the Pittsburgh Penguins. I know you were kind of leaning towards the Penguins after they knocked your Capitals out. Are you still on the bandwagon? I'm kind of rooting for the upset here. I would love to see the Senators advance. I know Pittsburgh's a great team, and they probably will win this game, or they should win this game. But, somewhere deep down inside me, I'm just a sucker for the upset. I'd love to see Ottawa win. Are you just hardcore behind Sidney Crosby and you're going to wear your championship shirt from last year tonight?
I might. But, I'm kind of with you. I'd like to see the upset. See some, it would be cool for the Stanley Cup to see two new teams.
Wouldn't it just be interesting to finally have a team from Canada back in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, it hasn't happened this year or this decade, has it?
I can't remember. I was trying to think, off the top of my head, and I honestly don't remember the last time we had a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I am actually going to have to. I'm going to Bing this here, Dan, and get a list of Stanley Cup winners and who they played, so I can actually go and look, because I'm racking my brain here and I have absolutely no idea. So let's work our way back and see what we've got. It looks like 2011 when the Boston Bruins beat the Vancouver Canucks. Right. Vancouver, I believe that's the Vancouver in Canada, not the one in Washington. So we should be okay there. The last Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup. Oh, good Lord. Has it really been that long? The Montreal Canadiens, Dan, 1993.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had been that long. So.
Another one. Kind of staying close to Canada, going to Detroit. Isn't this one of the first years, was it this year or last year, that Detroit hadn't made the playoffs in like 20-some-odd years?
Yeah, they had the longest consecutive streak, and it was broken this year. The Blackhawks had that for a while until they had that one rough year back before, they got Kane and Taze and everything and got good. But yeah, Detroit had it running until this year. Yeah, they didn't get in, and so I don't know who has it now. We'd have to. I'm sure it will come eventually. I don't think so. I'm sure it's Washington or Pittsburgh or something who's perpetually in the playoffs like that. So. But yeah, I hope it's a good game. I am. And, You know, Craig Anderson got shelled on Pittsburgh ice in game five, but then in game six at home, he was really good. Do you think going on the road hurts him?
I don't know. I mean, that's been kind of seemingly what's been going on in this series between the two goalies. It's either they're completely on or they're just getting, you know, scored on like crazy.
Yeah, and now I did see something Ottawa did. You know, I didn't notice it watching the bits and pieces of the game I did a couple of nights ago because they really didn't focus on it. But when you break down the highlights, man, they really went after Sidney Crosby. I mean, every chance they had, they, you know, they would check him, of course, cleanly. But any, you know, any other opportunity, you know, they would bump him or grab him or hold him. And there was actually one point where a guy, they were along the Ottawa bench and a guy was literally poking Crosby in the stomach with his stick while a player from the bench was squirting him with a water bottle and the ref's like behind him. So he can't see the player squirting him. I was kind of thinking, man, they are really getting under this guy's skin. You know, I wonder, do you think they'll be able to get away with that much on the road? Or, you know, because, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of home ice advantage. It doesn't mean a ton in the NHL. But when it comes to penalties and stuff like that, it does. Do you think they'll be able to get away with it tonight?
Maybe not the water sporting. But, I mean, you know, it's funny you brought that up because I was actually kind of going to go that route. To me, it seemed, you know, the one thing I noticed over the last couple of years, especially watching Pittsburgh-Washington games, is when it comes to Pittsburgh-Washington, you know, Pittsburgh seems to be really rough and tough when it comes to playing Washington. Kind of like when, for whatever reason, when the Capitals come to Chicago, vice versa, they seem to really beat up on the Blackhawks. Where, you know, like I said, where I think there's a kind of a rivalry somewhat, so to speak, between Washington and Pittsburgh, where maybe there's not enough animosity between the Penguins and the Senators to where, you know, kind of going that way, that Penguins aren't, I don't want to say playing as hard as they usually do, but maybe not going after them like they would go after Washington.
Yeah, you know, you've got to think that probably has a little something to do with it, because there's no rivalry here like there is with, you know, Pittsburgh and Washington and, those kind of teams. So it you know, and you never know. I mean, the fact that, you know, again, we're talking about Ottawa, who was a number seven seed, you know, maybe Pittsburgh has actually looked past them a little, you know, thinking, hey, no problem. We should be able to, kind of mow this. And yeah, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a deal, you know, and you just wonder if, you know, maybe they, you know, underestimated them a little bit might be the way to, you know, to look at it.
Part of it. Because, I mean, didn't they start the series 2 to take the first two games, the Senators?
No, they split in Pittsburgh, but they did win the first one. So,
which, I mean, I thought there's no way they're going to beat Pittsburgh at home.
So, yeah, you know, it sure didn't look like it. I mean, you wouldn't think. I mean, looking at the matchup, I mean, you know, okay, maybe Pittsburgh comes in a little, you know, tired. I mean, you know, you are coming off a seven-game series against a team, you know, in Washington who was, you know, the best in the regular season. And, you know, maybe, you know, you're a little lax against an Ottawa team, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's been a surprise. I mean, Ottawa's been a surprise the whole way through. I didn't think they were going to beat the Rangers in the first round, Even though Ottawa was the home team, the Rangers were coming off a 100-point season. So, you know, they've had an interesting. Actually, I think that was the second round they beat the Rangers in. But either way, I didn't think they were gonna, you know, they were gonna get by them. And you know, here they are again. You know what I mean? And you know, in a way, you could say the same thing about the Predators. You know, I mean, we're looking at an 8 seed that's really, I mean, I don't care what anybody says, they've been the best team in the playoffs so far. You know, I don't think you could convince me otherwise. They've really been that good. But yeah, you know, hopefully we'll, you know, we'll get a good, you know, a good close tight knit thing, you know. So, you know, now you got Pittsburgh winning. You think Pittsburgh takes it?
Yeah, I think they're going to take it.
So, yeah, it's, you know, it's so tough to pick against them. I mean, I think you got to, you know, got to kind of go with Pittsburgh. And you know, I keep hearing how the NHL wants Pittsburgh to win, and you know, sadly, I don't think the NHL is like the NBA where they kind of manipulate the teams they want to win. You know, at least not as blatantly. Maybe they do other things, but you know, we'll see. I didn't look. What do you know? Probably not, because you've been at work all day. But what is the? I want to look at the start time here. It's a 7 o'clock start on the NBC Sports Network, of course. So,
is that 7 our time?
Yeah, 7 o'clock our time. So you'll have plenty of time to get all settled in, and you know, the Cubs have already played, so you won't be interfered with by that. And you know, I'm not watching any of the, you know, the basketball games, so I'm free to just kind of kick back and let the hockey play out. So we will be all set. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, but, it's not like, I would say the Cubs already beat the crap out of the Giants, and I was a little upset that,
yes,
I didn't get the margin in today, but it probably worked out to my advantage.
So. You know, actually, he didn't pitch too badly. You know, he gave up, you know, the problem was he kept giving up solo home runs, but he didn't pitch terribly. So, wait, you broke up there. What was it?
I said, which was Cueto's problem the other night.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we do have, you know, quite a few finals, as you could guess. You know, being Thursday is getaway day. Seattle finally scored more than one run and got a win. They beat Washington 4-2. Ariel Miranda got the win. Jacob Turner took the loss, and Edwin Diaz picked up a save. The Pirates roughed up the Braves again, 9-4. Ivan Nova got the win. Bartolo Colon took the loss. It took 11 innings, but the Phillies beat the Rockies 2-1. Genmar Gomez got the win, and Scott Oberg took the loss. The Rays shut out the Angels 4-0. Matt Andreese got the win, and Daniel Wright took the loss. You mentioned the Cubs won. It was 5-1 over the Giants. Eddie Butler got the win. Jeff Samardzija got the save, or got the loss. And Mike Montgomery went 4 innings to get the save. The Royals and the Yankees were already both postponed. I think when they woke up this morning, they postponed that game. And then the Reds and the Indians have also been postponed. So there you go. So we should be all set. The rest of the schedule kicking off here pretty soon. We've got Texas at Boston. It's Nick Martinez and Drew Pomerantz starting there. San Diego at New York. Oh, boy. I'm going to go with Dinelson Lament for the Padres is pitching tonight against Rafael Montero. It was supposed to be Jacob DeGrom, but he got scratched. Arizona at Milwaukee. It's Robbie Ray and Zach Davies. Detroit at Houston. Justin Verlander against Mike Fiers. And then St. Louis at the Dodgers. This has been a really good series. It's Michael Wacha against Kenta Maeda. You know, I know I let everybody down in FanDuel last night. The only thing I had correct was Charlie Morton actually had a really good outing. I think he scored 37 points, but as a whole, my team didn't even get to 100. So that'll tell you how bad my hitting was. But oddly, I looked at the predictions again for that oddshark.com that Mr. Fantasy likes to use. And they again have the Tigers, out of all the teams that are still playing tonight, the Tigers as the team with the lowest offensive output. So, you know, maybe Mike Fiers is your guy. You know, I know Robbie Ray is another one of those guys with a big discrepancy in ERA. I believe on the road I saw it's 2.98, but when he's at home it's over 7. So maybe you like him on the road against Milwaukee tonight. You know, it's, you know, Michael Walker wouldn't be a terrible choice, but the Dodgers have really been held down. You wonder if tonight's the night they break out. You know, maybe you like Justin Verlander. You know, there's not that one standout pitcher on FanDuel tonight. You know, and I messed around with my lineup and I just really loaded it up with Red Sox and Rangers because that's supposed to be the highest scoring game of the night. So I cheated and just entered it in a free league to kind of check it out. Here's what I ended up with. I did plug Fiers in because of what I was talking about. He's at 7,100. I got Jonathan LaCroix catching at 3,200. My only non-Red Sox or Ranger is Matt Carpenter at first base for 3,500. Second base is Dustin Pedroia for 34. Third base is Joey Gallo for $3,000. Shortstop is Xander Bogaerts for 3,600. And then my outfield is Mookie Betts for 4,300. Andrew Benintendi for 3,700. And Delino DeShields for 2,900. Now, I wasn't confident to bet any money on this lineup, so I don't expect you to be. I'm just trying a stacking technique here to see how it kind of works out. And like I said, according to, you know, basically their Vegas odds, this is supposed to be the highest scoring game of the night. So I'm just trying to get in on it and see how it works out. And you know what's going to happen here, Dan? Either it's going to go off and I'm going to score, you know, 300 points and I'm not going to be in a league where I can't win any money, or the game's going to get rained out and I'm going to score like 5 points. So,
yeah. Well, I decided to roll the dice on Michael Walker tonight. Well, he'll probably get lit up. But I went with Christian Vasquez, Will Myers, Ian Kinsler, and I loaded up. Well, I don't want to say loaded up, but, you know, kind of went to Arizona with the pitcher. I forget who was pitching for Milwaukee. But I took Lamb, Owings, and I went back to Detroit, or Houston, so to speak, and took J.D. Martinez. I'm waiting for him to score for me. And then David Peralta and George Springer.
So, yeah. Yeah, you know, I had Springer last night and he struggled, so I hope he does better for you. So, you know, it's just one of those nights. It was kind of like, you know, I got him and he didn't do anything. But, you know, like always, that's going to happen, you know, no matter what league you're in or anything else, you're going to end up with those you know, those kind of nights. So it would be nice if Dan and I could win. Well, you know, I can't win any money tonight. I will do a, they have the late night league. I'll probably jump in on that, even though I didn't money last night in that either, but I got close. I ended up missing, I think one, I put two lineups in and one of them missed by 10 points. So I was at least right there on the late night league. I'm trying to remember who the heck I used as my pitcher there. Oh, I had Mike Leake, and he had a really good outing. So that was a big plus. But, yeah, tonight 8:10 is the late-night league for FanDuel. So you'll have to be on that one. So, you know, maybe I'll try working with Robbie Ray since that road ERA is so low and see what kind of lineup I can kind of work around that and hopefully – Get some big points tonight. That would be nice. It seems as though I haven't won anything all week. So, or no, I did get my money back. What was that? 2 days ago. So I'm hanging in there. But yeah, I need to get a win so I can get some of my money back I lost last night. I sound like a gambler now, don't I? Jeez, I got problems. Yeah. Man. I got real problems here. So. You know, just one of those situations. I'm just addicted to FanDuel. So, But I did see the Red Sox are saying David Price is going to come back Monday against the White Sox. Not a bad team to bring him back against, huh?
I didn't know if Chris Sale was pitching during that outing.
Yeah, I wonder if he's set to go. It would be interesting if he was. So, you know, that I would love to see him pitch against, you know, his old team. But yeah, it'll be nice to see, you know, where Price is, or, you know, how that kind of works out. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I found an article I want to run by you here, since you're the Cub fan. You know, Jesse Rogers, who reports locally here on the Cubs, he came up with, here you go, should the Cubs put Javier Baez or another young star on the trade block? So, and it appears as what he's looking for, he wants to get them a starting pitcher. Are you buying that idea for them? Are you willing to dish off one of those guys? Now, you know, they have some pretty big names in here, and I'm wondering what it would take to get these guys. You know, he mentions the likes of Zach Greinke and Johnny Cueto, along with Chris Archer, and then he throws in Alex Cobb. Obviously, Cobb is a slot or two below those other three guys. Do you see the Giants or the Diamondbacks moving Cueto or Greinke? And what the hell would the Cubs have to give up to get it? Don't say Miguel Montero.
Yeah. Miguel Montero, Tommy La Stella, David Long.
Yeah.
Who else did they send down recently? Yeah, that guy too. I forgot who went down with La Stella. But I think if you're talking Arizona, you're definitely looking at moving Javi. Because he would have a full-time job in the middle infield. I think Nick Ahmed would be, unfortunately, the odd man out. And is it Owings who plays short?
Yeah.
For Arizona, I think he would stay at his job, but I think Nick Ahmed would be the odd man out. And you would see maybe him come over to the Cubs too. You know, and maybe Almora. With Javi going over, I forget who's in their outfield. But I think if, honestly, you know, obviously it wouldn't be a straight-up Greinke for Baez, because that just wouldn't make sense. But, I mean, you would have to – I think that's the only way you can entice them to start to talk, to get Greinke over here. Thinking about – I think that's one of the reasons Jesse, I think, picked – and I heard him talking about this, actually – a little bit sometime last week. I think with the way the middle infield has played out for San Francisco, if you use a guy like Javi for the defense. But when you're talking about Chris Archer, I think that's all great. It's good to talk about. But if that were going to happen, why now? That should have happened 3 years ago. So I think that one's completely off the board. I don't even think it's worth even entertaining the idea. I would be very surprised if now they went after Chris Archer, because, I mean, let's be honest, Joe was the coach down there. He, you know, immediately they were able to get his guy, Brent Zobrist, after World Series for the Royals. I think that they would have picked him up last year before the season started. And even, you know, before this season started, it didn't happen. I don't think it's an idea really to entertain. And Alex Cobb, he's the one from Detroit?
No, he's from Tampa as well.
I just don't know about. I don't know if you would, I think Javi'd be too high to give up for him. maybe you'd be looking at someone like
Yeah.
Candelario.
Yeah, I was thinking, if you're, and I'm not of the belief that the Cubs have to go out and get a Cueto or a Greinke or even an Archer like the article quotes here. I mean, you've got Lester, you've got Arrieta, you've got Hendricks. I know Arrieta had his scuffles, but Lester and Hendricks have looked really good their last couple times out. They seem to be rounding into form. What you need is to fill that back spot, because while Eddie Butler got a win today, he's not the answer. When Brett Anderson comes off the DL, he's not the answer. If you could plug a, if you could plug a guy like Alex Cobb in there, that's a really good weapon at number five, a little bit like Jason Hamill was last year. Hamill's not a top of the rotation guy, but when you can plug him in as your fifth starter, then all of a sudden you've got something going. And, if you've got to give up a Candelario, who, let's face it, is never going to be a Cub at the major league level because Chris Bryant isn't playing third base. It's kind of the Dan Vogelbach situation. How long are you going to hold on to this guy before he has no value in a trade? And the sad part was when he was up here, he was a little bit exposed because he didn't do very well. So he probably lost a little value there. I mean, to get a guy like Cobb, you may have to throw another minor leaguer in, or they may want, a guy like Almora as well, who you could easily give away because you have no use for him. That would be what I would rather see the team do than have to give up, be it a hobby or maybe an Ian Happ teams would want, in a deal like that, to bring in one of these top older starters with big money on their contracts.
And I mean, we're looking at year two of both Greinke and Cueto.
Yeah.
I know Cueto was what, 4 to 5 out of the 5 years. You'd have an aging pitcher with 3 more years left on the deal. And I mean, let's be honest, the whole idea of the quote rebuild was to get younger. And why would you get younger only to trade it away for age? That doesn't make any sense. And, like you brought up with Cobb, I think that sounds more along the lines of what Madden would prefer, and, and the way they've been making their
Yeah. Or I mean, okay, say you do want to go out and you're gonna go get a top guy. Go get Sonny Gray. He's a young guy, he's had a few injury issues. He looks to be back, but he's still young. I mean, you're looking at a guy. I'm gonna have to use Dan's Bing again here so I can find out how old Sonny Gray is. But I mean, he doesn't have a lot of miles on him like a Cueto or a Greinke. He up here, again, he looks to be past the injury issue. He's 27. He'll be 28 in November. You don't think the A's would be interested in a couple prospects for Sonny Gray?
We know that. I mean, but if
Right. I mean, that's the A's life.
the Giants and the Diamondbacks, I think, would want more, not just two guys. I think they would want more to, really get away Greinke and Cueto. And I think if you were going to, quote, sell the farm, last year would have been the year and not allowed Boston. And I mean, let's be honest, can you imagine? And I know it's definitely hypothetical in fantasy land, but can you imagine having John Lester and Chris Sale?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. The Cubs had the weapons this offseason to go get Chris Sale, and they chose not to. All right. Boston was the team that anteed up, and, they gave up the prospects. The Cubs didn't want to give up those guys. It probably would have cost them, it would have cost them an Ian Happ. It would have cost them a Candelaria. They may have even had to throw, Baez in there just to make that deal work. You know, I doubt they would have, you know, given Schwarber, probably would have been Baez over Schwarber because I know they love Schwarber's bat. But, you know, it may have had to been like those three guys to go get Sale, you know, and they didn't want to pull the trigger. Obviously, Boston did. You know, he's been incredible. So, you know, you wonder what's the difference between now and then is they've seen the embarrassment that Brett Anderson was, even though I believe you and I talked about how the signing sucked when they made it. So, you know, again, how do you and I figure this out? And the guys who get paid to do it can't.
Well, you know, I think part of it is he only has so much magic. And I think what ends up happening is once he gets over that hump, I mean, what's left to do now? And, you know, and the other thing goes back to, like you always say, the smartest guy in the room. Well, you can make dumb deals like Brett Anderson when you're a crappy team. Although, you know, Uncle Bob will always tell me, yeah, well, you didn't like it when, you know, Theo told you what they were going to do. And I go, yeah, but everyone fails to remember that Theo came out on his soapbox telling you how the team's going to, you know, in so many other words, it's going to suck for so many years. We're not going to spend any money. And then goes and spends $50 million on a guy that they released 2 years later. I mean, don't come out here and say one thing and then dump a bunch of money. You're going to do it. But don't come out here and tell me one thing and then dump a bunch of money into a guy who, you know, had spurted here and there after his time with the Cubs, but you knew wasn't part of your future. And to give him $50 million over 4 to 5 years was just the dumbest thing. You know, it was, I think it was dumber than Jose or whatever Pena's 3-year, $10 million deal for one season. Yeah, I figured that one out.
Yeah. Carlos. Yeah, no, one of those things. That's one of the things that I'll never get, no matter, you know, how they work this out. You know, I don't understand it. I mean, you know, again, if they want to go get it, you know, obviously they have the weapons to go get anybody they want, as long as they're willing to part with them. You know, my thing is, I just don't believe he's going to be willing to part with any of those prospects because, you know, they're like his children. So I would be shocked to see, you know, a Baez, you know, a Schwarber, guys like that, any of those guys who could really bring back an arm get moved.
Yeah, so. And I mean, fucking Johnny Cueto. I mean, if you have to give up Baez and Candelaria, I don't think it's a horrible deal.
No. You know, it's you know, and you know, and that's the thing. I mean, as great as it would be to, you know, be able to package, you know, Tommy La Stella and every other pitcher you've signed that hasn't worked out and is now pitching in Iowa, you know, that just, you know, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's the real world. We don't make deals like that. You know, there's no team out there stupid enough. You what?
Yeah, I said, did the Cubs have Joe Nathan on, you know, Infinity PL list?
Yeah.
Or...
yeah, you know. So, you know, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, I think you and I have talked that they needed back of the rotation help. I mean, Lackey's ERA is almost 5, and you can kind of live with one of those guys. You know, but like Eddie Butler lived through 5 innings today. He gave up a lot of hard hit balls, but luckily they were at people. So, you know, that worked out today. Obviously his second start was a fiasco. So it appears to be a bit of a crapshoot every time he goes out there. You know, I mean, that, you know, that can be heart-stopping. I mean, it still is early. You have time to work it out. You know, maybe you give Butler a couple more starts and he regains that prowess he was supposed to be in the Colorado system. You know, he was supposed to be a very good starting pitcher, you know, as things built along, even in Colorado. So, you know, maybe he finds it, or, you know, maybe Brett Anderson finds a way to get healthy and he can come back and win you 8 games out of that spot. I mean, you know, you could piece it together without having to make the deal. I just think the deal actually sets you up a little better for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I mean, and that's what it all comes down to. Because, I mean, you think about it, when it comes to the playoffs, I think the division's going to end up being theirs. I don't think Milwaukee's going to sustain the whole season. As exciting as that would be for, you know, the Brewers and everybody, I don't think that's sustainable. I think they'll have a little bit of neck and neck with the Cardinals, but I think it'll be their division. The Central, the East, the West. I think what ends up happening more so than anything is I kind of foresee them going up against the Nationals. Got to wonder if they can get past them.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of teams out, you know, especially in the National League that have shown, you know, even this early that, you know, they can compete. You know, I mean, obviously the Nationals are very good in a very weak division. You know, I think the Cubs, you know, I think the Cubs and the Cardinals end up rising to the top of the Central. I actually assume both of them will get in. The Cubs will probably win the division. The Cardinals will probably be a wild card. You know, I'm interested to see how long the Rockies and the Diamondbacks can hang around up top in the West. You know, I think the Dodgers got it figured out now that Cody Bellinger is an everyday player. You know, I'm sorry it took Andrew Toles having to be injured for the season for that to happen. But, you know, I think Bellinger is, you know, he'll probably win Rookie of the Year. You know, he's that good, and he means that much to that team. You know, obviously, they're almost guaranteed to win one every 5 starts because nobody's going to beat Kershaw. You know, I mean, he was masterful against the Cardinals, and they just couldn't score for him. I mean, the guy is just freaking amazing. You got to wonder how he does it every time out there. But, you know, Colorado and Arizona have been hanging around. I didn't really expect it. You know, and you just wonder. I mean, obviously, Arizona has Greinke to lead the rotation, and Colorado's pitching has been surprisingly good. I think they just went like 8-2 on their road trip. It was their best road trip in team history. So, you know, maybe there's a battle there for the Dodgers, but I don't know if I see any of those teams competing with, you know, the Cubs in a 7-game series. So, but, you know, like, I think the Nationals, you know, with that pitching staff, and even the Cardinals, you know, the Cardinals starting rotation, now that Mike Leake's got it figured out, I believe they actually have the third best starting rotation in baseball. You know, and Leake leads the league in ERA. He pitched, I think it was 8 shutout innings last night against the Dodgers. You know, so that could be scary. You know, Carlos Martinez is very good. Lance Lynn and Michael Wacha have been really good. You add Leake in, and the odd thing is Adam Wainwright ends up being the worst pitcher on the staff, and that's not a bad problem to have. So, you know, come playoff time, that could be a, you know, an ugly team to deal with if they get in. You know, and Washington's a little the same way. You know, you're always going to get a great performance out of Scherzer. You know, Strasburg has been good. The playoffs will be a test for him because he hasn't been great there. It's just for them kind of after that, you know, and do you think they'll go get a closer? I know I saw they named Coda Glover as the closer today, which is good for me because actually I'm in both our Yahoo leagues, kind of hoping this would happen, but do you think they go get somebody?
I mean, who do you try to get? Who can you steal away? I mean,
you know, there's... Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know David Robinson is available for the White Sox. But, you know, you wonder at this point, you know, would the Marlins deal you A.J. Ramos? I mean, they're 16-29. You know, would they make a move, possibly that way? You know, they're willing to ship you off their guy. You know, the interesting one could be, you know, would the Royals be willing to give up Kelvin Herrera? You know, he could be a really big part. Well, that would be the question. Would the Pirates deal, you know, would they deal Watson? You know, there are some, you know, some teams out there that, you know, it could be interesting. You know, I mean, the Tigers are kind of in that same boat. They've got to find somebody to close if they think they're going to contend. You know, they seem to be dragging their feet a little bit about it. At least Washington is, you know, it's been mentioned and it's kind of come up. But, you know, like you mentioned yesterday, you wonder if they've got the assets after, you know, what they gave up to get Adam Eaton, who sadly went out injured. You know, you just got to kind of wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well, but, you know, at the same token, I still wonder why, you know, for a guy like Adam Eaton, not his value as a leadoff hitter and, you know, the clubhouse stuff, but at the same time, you've got to wonder why they were ready to just let go of Lucas Giolito. I mean, I know all those outsiders are super excited about, you know, what they were able to get from Washington, but it makes me wonder, you know, why a couple of those guys were they ready to just turn away from?
Yeah, they were really down on Giolito. They were, you know, I read how they were unhappy with the way he performed in, you know, in his little bit of a call up, last year when he got some starts. So yeah, I think they had just decided they were going to move on from him and they were willing to, you know, let him roll. So, you know, again, we'll have to see. I mean, it's one of those situations where it doesn't look like we're going to see him this year for the White Sox. You know, they seem pretty content with keeping these guys down, you know, in the minors. You even wonder, you know, when we'll see Moncada. I know he's injured now, but he's only on the 7-day DL. So it's not like, you know, it's a long-term injury. But, you know, he was destroying Triple-A pitching, and it's just kind of like, okay, well, how long are we going to leave him here?
Yeah, but I mean, as exciting as it is to have the same token, I mean, I'm still under the mindset, and you know, this is not being a White Sox fan, that don't get you know, too excited and let them come up next year. You know, let them work an entire season down in the White Sox farm, and then, you know, maybe we'll see them in September. Maybe not, but I mean, I think you should start fresh next season, because this is obviously not a season that's going to produce a World Series or, you know, anything higher than a wild card, which I get it giving them the experience at the major league level, but I mean, I feel like if you get them on that mindset working through spring training and bringing them right up next April, well, you know, I think that would be just a better situation. But then again, that's just my
I think that works with the pitchers. You know, if you want to leave Giolito down there and let him work the whole year, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, at some point, you know, Moncada needs to be brought up to see if he can hit major league pitching. You know, you need to find a spot for him. You need to find at bats for him. Maybe when or if Todd Frazier is finally dealt, that'll open up, a spot for him. You know, there's no rush to bring him up now. I mean, it is just May. But, you know, I think come around the All-Star break time, as long as he's healthy and, you know, he's still ripping down there, you just can't leave him down there because he's going to get flat. You know, I mean, you want to continue to challenge him and give him, you know, some really quality at bats and, you know, get him situated, because this guy is going to be a foundational player for your team. And I think they need to get him here by at least the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, when it comes to Todd Frazier, he was coming off a pretty solid year and all that, you know, all the good stuff. I mean, do you think it's just bad luck on the White Sox, you know, what he ended up turning into?
Yeah, you know, it sure seems like it. I mean, you know, again, it was another one of these situations where, you know, when they got him, everybody was really excited about it. You know, and I mean, granted, you know, the power was there. You know, I mean, he hit a ton of bombs last year, and, you know, then he hit 200. You know, this year he's not off to a much better start, except the power's not really there. You know, looking at his stats here, he's played in 37 games. He's only got 5 home runs, and he's hitting a .192. So, yeah, it just kind of seems like, you know, he went from being a, you know, I mean, he was never a great hitter, but, you know, I mean, 230, 240, 250, you know, that's a huge uptick from 200. And, you know, you just wonder why they get to Chicago and all of a sudden they can't hit. You know, I mean, he's kind of basically turned into the right-handed version of Adam Dunn. So, you know, it's just odd that, you know, it basically happened to the White Sox again. You know, here's this guy we're all excited about. You're getting this guy. You know, he's done really well in Cincinnati, you know, a good hitter's park. You know, Chicago is a good place to hit. You know, it's not like not like you're hitting in Oakland or some of those other, caverns or canyons or whatever, they hit in, and, you know, he gets to Chicago and you're like, yeah, okay. Guys, what happened? Guys?
Well, you know,
hello?
It's one of those things. I didn't think he was coming here to save the White Sox or anything like that, but, you know, I really thought, oh, well, he's going to be a great addition to this team and they're going to have fun with him while they have him. And, you know, like you said, with the way the stadium is set up, facing east, and, you know, being far enough down away from the lake, you're not getting any of the, you know, the wind off the lake, and most of our weather ends up traveling west to east. So you think he'd be hitting a lot more bombs than just 5 so far.
Yeah, well, you know, like he spent 5 years in Cincinnati, and, again, he was a .257 hitter. So it's not like you expected him to come here and win a batting title. But he hit .225 last year. You know, again, this year he's at .192. You just wonder what happened. And I mean, you know, last year he struck out more times, 163, than he did any other year in his entire career. You know, is American League pitching that much better?
It's not supposed to be.
No.
It's supposed to be getting all the hits,
you know, you're
in
supposed,
the American League.
Right, you're supposed to score more runs there and all that other fun stuff. And for whatever reason, it just, you know, it hasn't worked out for him. And, you know, you even wonder, I mean, when it comes time to move him, because I believe he's a free agent next year. Yeah, 2018, he's a free agent. You know, they've got to try to get something in return, but, you know, at this point, I mean, what are you going to get for a power hitter who can hit, you know, who hits 200?
He lost his power.
Right. You know, yeah, and especially if those home runs don't start coming around. You know, and again, he is a streaky guy. You know, he could, you know, hit, you know, 2 in a game and then all of a sudden hit, you know, 6 in, you know, 5 games or 7 games or whatever. So, you know, he could do that and get right back on, you know, a big-time pace. But, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they want prospects. You know, they're going to want prospects with a quick turnaround. You're not going to get that for this guy right now.
No, and I mean, and
So,
that's
you
part of the
know, it's
reason I feel like leaving everyone down in the farm is just little bit to their advantage because next year they get to start off a little bit cleaner. You know, Melky will be gone, Fraser will be gone, and you know, if they're able to, which Quintana doesn't want to leave, so you've and I, you know, and I think that's where, well, let's be honest, when it comes to the media, they've already had him traded. He's been traded to, you know, 80 different, you know, all 30 teams and, you know, all the other teams in the major league already. But you've got to wonder if Rick Hahn, you know, if he truly has the general manager position and Kenny's backing off a little bit or a lot now, and if he's taken into consideration that, you know, and it's come out of Quintana's mouth that, you know, he's young. You know, he has, you know, quotable the controlling years. So that was one of the things I know that confused him as to why his name would be brought up into trade talks. So, you know, with the fact that he hasn't gone, he hasn't been moved yet, you wonder if that comes into play, if, you know, maybe Han has talked with him. And but then the other part of it is, you know, we're not going to obviously know until, you know, the theory that the draft is coming up on June 6th or 5th, and that's when we'll start to, you know, hear some more talks and maybe start to see the beginning of moves after everyone's kind of made their drafts.
So yeah, you know, it'll definitely take a little bit of you know, time to work out who or what or how, you know, they're gonna do things. But you know, I would have absolutely no issue if they want to hold on to Quintana. You know, they're, you know, he's a great building piece. You know, and you know, unless of course, you know, unless of course a team walks in and just blows you away with an offer. You know, I mean, otherwise, yeah, there's, you know, there's no rush to deal a guy like that. I don't know why they would, you know, even be in that big a hurry to do it.
Yeah. I was gonna joke and you know, this would never happen, but you know, Javi and maybe one other guy for for Quintana, you know, that would solve kind of the issue that the White Sox have had at second, would free up space for the Cubs, and then they'd have you know, a number three.
You know, I think that, well, you know, I mean, luckily Javi can, you know, kind of play all over the place. So yeah, you know, I mean, you know, something like that could work. You know, if again, that's what the, you know, the White Sox were interested in Javi. I mean, you know, who knows what they're, you know, what they're
Well, they
really
like him.
kind
They
of
strike
looking
out a
for.
lot.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the, you know, the only issue is they're looking for, you know, they can develop. So, but all right, well, that hour went really fast. So Dan and I are done for the day, but coming back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. First of all, if we're away, you know what you can do. SportsTimeRadio.com. If you didn't read the blog on Wednesday, get over there, check it out today. Link over to the Facebook page, give that a like. Jump on the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio, check that out. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. If you want to hunt us down, that would be great. As always, big thanks for listening live. We greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.